Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
An article has come out stating that the data suggests unisex bathrooms have become a bonanza to male perverts. Hi, I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Now, there have been these efforts, Matt, across the country to allow so-called men who think they are women to go into women's restrooms. Now, you may have somebody who's completely confused about who they are, and they may think in their mind that they want to be a woman. And whether they think that or not, the fact of the matter is, males in these situations can go into women's bathrooms, shower rooms, and locker rooms because you can't even begin to question what's in their mind, whether they're confused or whether they're just a pervert for some other reason. And what happens here when you see these, we've seen it with Target, there are natural consequences where you have people who are male perverts, voyeurs, even sexual assailants that go into these facilities and have ill intent. And so this particular study, this research that has come out, this article, states that this has become, frankly, a bonanza to male perverts.
Well, yeah, and this is not circumstantial evidence. This is not opinion. This is empirical evidence that there has been a sharp spike since the imposition of these radical LGBT policies, both from, you know, from the federal government with edicts from President Obama trying to corrupt the school system by opening up these co-ed bathrooms and showers and so forth, all the way to companies like Target and so forth. And so we're hearing more and more of stories. And a recent article that came out this month, this transgender murderer who was moved from a women's prison, a man who was pretending to be a woman, was in this, they'd moved him to be politically correct into this women's prison. And so should we be surprised that he was having sex with a bunch of the female inmates and they had to get him out of there? So this stuff is insane and absurd, and it doesn't take a rocket surgeon, as I'm fond of saying, to figure out that this is setting up a climate that is going to be ripe for sexual assault, for voyeurism, and peeping toms and everything else. And so we're seeing it happen, and the instances continue to mount.
Yeah, this is just appalling. I mean, you look at December 2015, this one guy, one man, George Thomas, was convicted of voyeurism when police found more than 3,500 videos in his possession that he had taped in a unisex staff shower room. And they did a search at the law pages, and in years 2006 to 2009, there was only 2.25 convictions per year. But then you fast forward to 2013 to 2016, and now there's an average of 16 convictions per year.
And that's convictions that has gone through the indictment, the trial, or the plea, and they're now convicted, and the case is over. So what you see
is a tiny percentage.
Yeah. So how many of these things are going on?
Yeah.
And then once somebody gets a video like that, over a period of 6 years, had 3,500 people that he had videoed.
Because, that was over a six-year period.
Yeah. And so 3,500 people he had on video. And did he put those up on pornography websites? You know, once you get them out there, you can't retrieve them. You know, there's been some studies before you even look at the statistics. Is this a problem? And the studies show that it is a problem. Templeton study, or by the name, the person who's the author, Templeton, 1991, found that no less than 42% of college men in a rural sample reported that they had engaged in voyeurism. A study by Bradford, 1992, reported that of the 443 male adults studied, 115 admitted to voyeurism. Rye and Meany, 2007, found that 61% of the men in their university sample would engage in voyeurism if the likelihood of getting caught was 25%.
Wow, 61%.
So these are enormous percentages. They suggest that voyeurism is more prevalent than commonly thought, and it's not only for men, but also there's others for women as well. But certainly these are alarming statistics.
Yeah, so now that we're opening these restrooms out to either gender, then you're just like, you're just handing candy in front of these guys, you know, inviting them to do this.
And, you know, I've got a case I'm arguing in the next few days up in Virginia at the Virginia Supreme Court. And we represent a family with a child in Fairfax County, contrary to the state law, included gender identity and gender expression and sexual orientation into their local school policies. This is in the Northern Virginia area, south of Washington, D.C. And that means that this student has to go into these facilities, and anyone can come into those facilities. Anyone can come into the showers when they do off-campus events. Anyone can sleep with another person because you have girls bunking with girls. Well, you can have guys and girls bunking together because one person mm-hmm. says, I'm a girl or I'm a guy, when they're really not.
And this is the high school, right?
Yeah, this is in high school.
Yeah, imagine being a parent, a father. I've got two teenage daughters.
I mean,
I don't even like to use that term gender and gender identity. This is a false social construct that the relativist left has created in order to try to water down. You know, in the beginning, God made them male and female. That's not
Period.
Just a spiritual reality.
Yeah.
That's a biological reality. And so this false social construct of gender is an attack on that reality. Well, this article in the Federalist, it points out, man, I think this is an important note. It says, given the statistics found in the literature, it is highly likely that these incidents represent the tip of the proverbial iceberg. Policymakers and politicians need to understand that the push to open women's spaces is taking place in the middle of a voyeurism epidemic. Rights and freedoms don't live in a vacuum. In this case, the rights of one group, trans individuals or gender-confused individuals, dramatically affects the rights of another, female. So this is anti-woman. This is a misogynistic policy pushed by the misogynistic LGBT lobby.
And I must say, as a woman, it makes me, you know, there's fear factor when you go into a public restroom now. And is there a camera somewhere, you know? I mean, you think twice nowadays.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, it's just ridiculous that you have to have your privacy potentially in jeopardy and your safety in
right.
jeopardy when you go to the restroom. And even worse, if you're in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a school and they have the girl's shower or the boy's shower and you're in there, and lo and behold, there can be somebody of the opposite sex in there. You know, this is not gender identity. It's gender confusion is what it is. It's no different than somebody who thinks that they're a cat and they want to be tattooed like a cat, or they want to have their ears amputated. It's a mental issue. It's not something that you're born with. And the media talk about fake news. When you look at the New York Times and the Washington Post and they talk about Bruce Jenner, Bruce can change his name to Caitlyn if he wants to. You can change it legally to whatever you want to. That's not the issue. But Bruce cannot change his biology and DNA. He can do plastic surgery. He can take hormones. But Bruce Jenner, no matter what he tries, is still a male. And when the media puts out this fictitious construct and they talk about Bruce or somebody like Bruce as being a she, it's just unbelievable that the media and the liberal elites have bought this idea. And at the end of the day, Matt, it is a direct assault on God, who is our creator. It is shaking our fist in the face of God, our creator, who created us male and female, created us with amazing differences and yet complementary natures, and it is wanting to recreate yourself in your own image.
Yeah, not only are there no moral absolutes, you know, goes this moral relativist ideology, but there are no biological absolutes. It's the ultimate in rebellion against God the Creator.
And it's rebellion against objective reality. I mean, you know, we can debate about a lot of things, but when you look at objective reality, male and female, and you deny the actual existence of what is obvious, then you're denying, you have no more foundation from which to reason from objective reality. This is ultimately, you know, Romans 1. Romans 1 talks about when you abandon God, the Creator, and you worship created things, God gives you over to a debased mind, a confused mind. And the result is you do all kinds of bizarre and harmful things, even to one another sexually and in other ways as well. And you reap the punishment that comes naturally from that kind of consequence. you know, this is a situation that is of a serious nature, and we need to not just accept it as though it is. We need to be the light and the salt to the earth. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, to learn more about this and other issues, and join Liberty Counsel in our advancement of family, faith, and freedom, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. The website again, lc.org.